My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Very happy to have our next guest back with us. He is Aaron Schatz. He is with FTN Fantasy. He's the Chief Analytics Officer. We've had him with us many times, and he has worked in the NFL for a very, very long time. Aaron, good to have you with us.
Hey, Aaron.
Aaron, you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Good to have you. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Nervous day all around the National Football League. Is cut downs at 4 o'clock tomorrow. If you're the Browns and you've thought your roster is pretty good, do you still think your roster is pretty good at this point after the preseason and after some of the injury situations that you've had?
Yeah, I think, look, the problem is the injury situations that you've got. But I think there's confidence that Chubb will be back in a few weeks, right? So that is good. The problem is quarterback, right? The question is, what's the deal with Deshaun Watson? Can he play? What does the team look like if Jameis Winston is the quarterback? I think that the, probable, what you're going to see out of Winston would be similar to what you'd see out of Watson, but Watson just has a much higher ceiling because there's always that possibility that he'll get back to what he was in Houston 3 years ago, whereas you don't really have that with Jameis. But, this is a team that's going to be carried by its defense either way, and that defensive roster is strong.
Aaron, traditionally, since, we've seen this Barry-Stefanski tandem with the Browns, they like to just kind of keep two quarterbacks going into the regular season. I wonder if they're a little shell-shocked after last year and if we saw the impact of the 17th game where teams are saying, you know what, we better keep three quarterbacks this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I would not be surprised if you were correct, especially because if Watson has some kind of shoulder issue, you definitely need to have a third quarterback on your roster. Now, you can always do the emergency third quarterback thing, right? The rule, starting this year, is you can have a practice squad player declared as your emergency third quarterback. He only comes in if the other two quarterbacks are injured. If they think they can sneak Dorian Thompson-Robinson through waivers, they get him onto the practice squad, then he serves that role. But my guess is you're going to have him on the roster.
Aaron, what value does Dorian Thompson-Robinson have around the league? Same thing with Tyler Huntley.
Huntley is an easily replaceable part at this point. I can't imagine he has any value. Thompson-Robinson, I don't know whether teams think that he might be worth a waiver pickup, depending on how deep their rosters are. My guess is you probably could sneak him through waivers, but I don't know for sure.
We're trying to look through this Browns roster and trying to figure out how many wide receivers they're going to keep. And I think sometimes we value players too much because we've seen them in the preseason and think that they may not be able to go through to the practice squad. How much do you think the one-day cut, red light special the NFL has now, compared to the way they used to when they would do three cuts, how much does the one-day cut, how much has that affected that, and does it make it easier to get your guys to the practice squad?
Well, I think that back when there were three cuts, you'd have guys who, they'd get cut the first cut, and then another team would pick them up, and then they just get cut the third cut again, I don't know whether this makes it easier to sneak guys through. Every team's going to be looking, but, every team knows what positions they are looking for and they know, they have people who've done scouting and know what players are possible cuts on other teams, so they're well aware. I have a feeling that every team has its radar up, and they know what players they want to get if those players get cut.
Aaron Schatz is joining us from FTN Fantasy. The FTN Almanac is on sale right now. Aaron, where can folks get that?
Yeah, absolutely. The FTN Football Almanac is a 450-page season preview. You can still get the online version at ftnfantasy.com/almanac. And you can get the actual physical copy at Amazon by just searching for FTN Football Almanac 2024.
Aaron, if you're a fantasy football dynasty league guy and you have your choice of rookie quarterbacks in this draft, which one are you going with?
I think I'm going with Caleb Williams because Caleb Williams has the best shot of being a long-term star in the NFL. In the short term, in a redraft league, I would want Jaden Daniels because of Jaden Daniels' rushing ability. But I think the odds that Jaden Daniels washes out are higher than the odds that Caleb Williams washes out. So Williams is the one you want first.
Why do you say that about the washout?
Because, I mean, Williams is just a better prospect. That's why he went number one.
Okay. That's pretty simple. What about Drake May in New England?
I mean, May's a good guy to grab, too. I mean, I think May and Daniels have sort of similar odds. The difference is Daniels has all that rushing value. I mean, Daniels was better last year, but, I mean, May didn't have as much around him with North Carolina, and he's younger, so there's the possibility of really developing, but he'll never have the rushing value that Daniels has. So, I mean, Daniels is probably your number two guy because you have that rushing value.
Let me ask you the same thing about wide receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr., big name here, obviously terrific prospect. Malik Nabers, big-time prospect out of LSU. Who would you take?
Our projections actually had Malik Nabers as the number one receiver in this class. I think I would actually take Nabers number one and Harrison number two, but you can't really go wrong with either of them. They're pretty much tied.
All right, let me ask you the big question from the preseason because it did not live up to the expectations. Your thoughts on the dynamic kickoff. Will that change, you think, during the regular season? And are we going to see some razzle-dazzle and make this thing more exciting than we thought it was going to be?
I have a sneaking suspicion that a lot of teams are just going to try to kick it through the end zone and just let the other team start at the 30, which is what they don't want to have happen. And I think that they will need to next year change it so those touchbacks go back to the 35 to take away the incentive, right? Because if you kick it through the end zone, there's no chance of a return, there's no chance of an injury, even though, you know, the average yard start is whatever, the 27 or 28, you'll give up those couple of yards to not have a chance of a return, and I think more teams are going to do that, and that's going to make the play boring again. So my guess is next year, that touchback switches to the 35.
I also wonder if they're going to, because we had a safety in one of the Browns games, and like there seemed to be no punishment against the offense with the way they kick after a safety now either. I wonder if they'll readjust that and take a look at that going into next season too.
The safety kick is going to be interesting. I mean, there's only 8 or 9 safety kicks per year, so I don't know what's going to happen with that.
I didn't realize there was that few.
Yeah.
I love safety. I mean, who doesn't love a good safety? Right?
Everybody loves
a good safety.
Yeah, there's surprisingly few of them each year.
I didn't realize that.
Aaron, who's the Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterback at the end of this year?
At the end of this year, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Justin Fields because Russell Wilson gets hurt somewhere along the way. And, you know, your starter gets hurt, your backup's the quarterback. But my guess is that for the first week, it will be Russell Wilson.
I'm really curious about that situation. When they picked up Justin Fields for as little as they picked up Justin Fields for, I thought, wow, that's a great move by the Steelers. Either that or the league doesn't like Justin Fields anymore. Which is it?
Yeah, the league doesn't like Justin Fields anymore. Listen, there's always that possibility, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of natural talent there, and the highlights are so exciting. Every day run-of-the-mill plays in between the highlights are bad. And the sacks are bad. So many sacks. He takes so many sacks. And just the average plays between the highlights. He's not good. And it would be an extremely rare circumstance for a quarterback to start for 3 years, play as badly as Fields has played for 3 years, and then suddenly become good. That has never really happened before.
Aaron, what do you think the Browns offense is going to look like under Ken Dorsey, and how is it going to be different if Kevin Stefanski is still calling the plays?
I don't think it'll be much different if Kevin Stefanski is still calling the plays. It's still Kevin Stefanski's offense.
Is that a good thing?
I've never looked at the Cleveland Browns and said, you know, the problem with this team is that their offense is too stagnant and easy to decipher. Mm. Right? The issue has been quarterback play.
Right.
The issue is, I keep coming back to this, it's sorry to just keep hammering on it, but the issue is, who is Deshaun Watson? Which guy is Deshaun Watson? What is up with Deshaun Watson's shoulder? So much of, like, because if Jameis plays, we know who Jameis is, right? He'll launch it long, there'll be more deep throws, there'll be more interceptions. He's not really that bad. Jameis Winston is kind of a little underrated, I guess, but you know what he is. We don't really know what it can Deshaun Watson be at this point, and that's where all the questions come in about the Cleveland offense.
Aaron Schatz joining us from FTN Fantasy. If you're the Browns and you don't see it this year, would you move on from Deshaun Watson?
I don't know what the whole cap, the cap structure works, but my guess is if there's a way to do it where you can find another quarterback, then yeah. If he plays, I don't know how many games he has to play for you to write it off, but you've now have 2 6-game stretches that were bad and the inability to stay healthy. If you add in another bad year, then I think, yeah, you got to start looking for something else.
All right, let's talk about the other side of the ball for the Browns on defense too. Can they match what they did last year outside of the playoff game? Can they match that? And do you think the Browns defense, with Myles Garrett getting a year older every year, is on a window that they've got to get something done now because the defense is in this, let's win now window? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think Garrett will still play well for a good amount of time. It's interesting because we have them as the number one projected defense, but that still expects that they'll regress some from how good they were last year, right? Because you have to expect every defense to regress. So it's like the average expectation for them is that they will not be as good as last year. But that still gives them the best expectation out of any defense in the league because they have so much talent, and Jim Schwartz has just run things so well. And, they didn't have a ridiculous number of turnovers last year, especially if you look at how many turnover-worthy throws they forced from opposing quarterbacks. So, this should still be one of the top 3 or 4 defenses in the league.
Aaron, stack out the AFC North for us.
My numbers love the Ravens. The Ravens were so far ahead last year during the regular season that even with the questions on their offensive line and the questions about defensive coordinator, I feel like you still have to rank the Ravens as either the best team in the AFC or the second best team in the AFC. I think the Bengals are a little bit behind them. I think the Browns are a little bit behind them, but I like the Browns, I think, better than I like conventional wisdom in the market. And then the Steelers, I think that this is the year that Mike Tomlin's streak of not having a losing record will end.
Aaron, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. And again, the FTN Almanac on sale right now. Folks can get it where?
Absolutely. FTNFantasy.com/almanac. And check out all the awesome stuff we have at FTN Fantasy to help you win your league, optimizers for DFS, all kinds of rankings. There's a lot of stuff. And if you get a subscription, you also get a discount on the Almanac.
Awesome. Aaron, thank you for your time, buddy.
Thanks, Aaron.
We appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a good day.
You too.
Aaron Schatz, FTN, the Chief Analytics Officer at FTN, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Aaron Schatz was just with us from FTN Fantasy. He made some comments about Deshaun Watson. We're going to jump into it in a minute and then maybe get some support from a gentleman that's going to be with us on Wednesday, Mike Sando. Mike made some comments in his quarterback tier rankings that you might not like. We'll hear those after we hear from Ryan, who's currently in Sandusky.
Rhino, he's a traveling man.
Hey, Jake, Minigan, Andy, Jeff, man. Just want to chime in on the about-to-be season, man. I'm not saying I'm counting, but I'm really saying it's 13 days and about 5 hours exactly before kickoff. Not saying I'm counting. But, again, I just want to talk a little bit about the conundrum, obviously the quarterback scenario, which player to cut. My biased perspective, obviously, just watching DTR grow, obviously Bishop Gorman in Vegas, just, you know, I should – leave that out of the equation. Again, I want the Browns to win more so than I want just recognition of, you know, favorite players. But again, I would love to have a scenario in which I feel that, you know, both scenarios would occur where we get to keep DTR, which I feel will happen. Again, he's just a guy that still needs to grow and blossom. I know he's not a spring chicken. He's 24, I think 25 now. At the same time, he just feels like that true third stringer. That's a weird thing to say, but we have the best 1-2 punch in all of football, I think, with our starter and our backup with Winston and Watson. Just good to have that third fiddle, I guess, if you want to say. With that being said, I just feel comfortable we got through this unique offseason, again, obviously with Michael Hall and maybe some minuscule injuries. Man, we got through this kind of unscathed. And again, we could all take a sigh of relief because now we can just worry about the season at hand, man, and it's right on the brink. And again, minuscule amounts of things have to be done, obviously the cuts. But again, I feel that this team's locked and loaded. Locked and loaded, and they're doing the right thing by putting, like Menigan said, putting Chubb on the pup list. This is all about the playoffs. This is business. This isn't even going to be, you know, this is definitely going to be fun. But at the same time, this is like, hey, man, we're in it to win it. And I think the way to do that, obviously, is by putting your players that truly need the rest or the injuries. Don't even play around. We need them for the long haul, which is the latter half of the season and the playoffs. With that being said, man, it's good times right now. Hey, guys, great. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great day.
All right, Ryan, thank you very much.
I know.
Ryan gets around. Wonder if he drives everywhere.
He was giving us the Bishop Gorman report, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Well, it's usually in Vegas.
Yeah.
Oftentimes in Vegas.
Next time, remind me, I want to ask him how good David Risky's kid is.
Uh-oh. Dan's got something.
So a little bit of news for the nerds out there trying to put together your 53-man roster. Ooh. As us, we put our 53-man roster together.
Well, why do you call people who care nerds?
Because if
it's kind of nerdy. I like
because if you love something, be a nerd about it. Yeah, it's not meant to be an insult. It's meant to be if you
Fritos.
Love it.
Am I a Frito nerd?
Yes. I've heard you talk about them. You are a Frito nerd.
Am I? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, you are.
And by the way, that's not an insult.
I should destroy your taste for Fritos the way you how you tainted my love for Reese's Cups.
Reese's.
Cups. Reese's Cups.
Not Reese's.
I ate more than one, so it's Reese's. Thank you.
Reese's?
You know, that's a hell of a point.
No, Reese's. It's still
Are we really
going to
have this argument?
Andy, recede is what happened to my hairline.
You know, you're so nitpicky on things. So nitpicky.
If you love something, be a nerd about it. All right, Tom Pelissero, NFL Network. Important note is
teams... By the way, hang on one real quick. Angel Reese did sign a deal with them, too, by the way. Basketball player.
Her name is Reese.
Yeah, but...
Reese's.
If she has kids and people will see the family walking down the street, they'll say...
Oh, look at the little Reese's.
That's right. Thank you, Reese's. Go ahead. Go back to Canada, where they call it Reese. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. Can I get this out?
Yeah, this better be good news. Yeah.
Important note as team construct their initial 53-man roster. Again, this is from Tom Pelissero, NFL.com, NFL Network.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
NFL teams were informed that the NFLPA vetoed the revised emergency third quarterback role that would have allowed teams to elevate a bona fide quarterback from their practice squad an unlimited amount of times. So the rule reverted to the 2023 version, which says the emergency third quarterback must be on the 53-man roster and not an elevation. So just something to keep in mind, because there's a lot of people who are saying, oh yeah, you get the automatic third string quarterback, you can put on the practice squad. That is not the case. That is not the truth. He has to be on the 53-man roster.
Okay.
You know, why, rather than wait till the last minute to do this, why didn't the NFLPA and the NFL get together and say, look, if you want to allow a third and that they're going to be the emergency, you're going to have to pay a premium outside of your, for at least this year until they figure something out, that whoever that emergency quarterback is, they should get paid a premium to be the emergency quarterback. Because let's face it, who loses in this? The fans. No one wants to see a wide receiver play quarterback. Man, can we admit this?
Are you kidding me? That's wildly, entertaining.
I just think it's silly. It's just silly.
Wildly entertaining.
So but before they have to hand in their roster tomorrow, the two sides should get together really quick and say, look, you get a $100,000 bonus if you're the emergency quarterback. I'll spend their money for them. Or you got to spend it well. And rather than being, or even better than yet, just you got to pay full price. The teams you have to pay regular game wage rather than practice squad wage, right? Wouldn't that just make sense? Okay. All right, we give. Because guess what? The only ones that lose in this are the fans when we have to watch a safety or a wide receiver or a running back play quarterback. Come on. What's best for the game? I understand why the PA did it, but why do we have to wait until today to find this out? Okay. Thank you.
I'm Andy Baskin.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Here for players.
Here for players and the fans.
And the fans.
Also, Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans for KPBC, KPRC, I should say, sorry, in my inability to read, down in Houston, is saying that the Texans have released our former friend, Jacob Phillips. So Jacob Phillips is going to be out there as one of the cuts. Something to keep an eye on.
Don't be stunned, huh? What do you think? Would they bring him back?
Ask yourself, do you like what they have at the position when you ask that?
I wonder if they feel they're deep enough at linebacker. What do you think? Wouldn't stun me if we see that happen.
I don't know.
Time to move on, huh?
Well, how many linebackers are you keeping? Well, you can keep five, six. How many are you keeping?
Probably five.
Five, and you're happy. You got Wu, Hicks, Bush, Watson, who they like, and then you just got to figure out if you're Tony Fields or Diabate.
I think they like Diabate.
I do, too. So there's that's five.
Okay. Stay tuned. See, these are the types of things that once teams announce all of these cuts, they're going to get really interesting.
I'd like trying to figure out the puzzle because, you know, like when you find a team, like I can't believe we haven't seen on X, somebody hasn't said, thank you, Browns fans. It's been great. Right? That's how you find out the roster cuts
before.
Good night, Cleveland!
Maybe the guys who are getting cut now are like, thank you very much, Hotel and Berea. It's been great. They don't really know much about the city yet because they're young guys. We just had Aaron Schatz on the show, and we talked about the Browns, and we were trying to go in depth on other aspects of the team. You heard us. We gave it a shot, right? Aaron immediately went this way. He went dead silent on us.
You just took his breath away.
Man, we had it all teed up, all ready to go. It was going to be great. And then, as far as you know. You know, technology let us down. We tried to ask other thoughts, and here went Aaron.
I don't know how structure works, but my guess is if there's a way to do it where you can find another quarterback, then yeah. I mean, I don't know how many games he has to play for you to write it off, but you've now have 2 6-game stretches that were bad and the inability to stay healthy. If you add in another bad year, then I think, yeah, you got to start looking for something else.
There you go.
You're going to disagree with him on the second 6-game stretch, right? I mean, the only really 5.
He went 4-1. And he had some moments that were pretty good. No, I didn't think he was bad.
Bad is not a word I would use for last year, for him.
No. I don't know that I'd even say bad was his first 6 games. The problem to me is 6 games in 2 straight years. Now, one was a suspension. And then right when you thought you might be getting some things, he gets hurt. You know, early on in game number 6. So there's that situation. Mike Sando is with The Athletic. Mike does something called quarterback tears all the time, and he's going to be with us coming up on Wednesday. And Dano, Mike Sando was not overly impressed with the idea of Deshaun Watson. What tier did he put Deshaun in? Like, how deep in the starting quarterbacks? And I know his remarks were a little scathing.
Well, so quarterback tiers every year comes out right around this time by Mike Sando, and what he does is talk to a whole bunch of front office executives all around the league. So what this is, and has them basically put these quarterbacks all in tiers, right? And so you end up with tier one, which is, you know, basically, here's the ball, you're a god amongst men, go win football games. Tier two, which is essentially, you need a little bit of help all around you, but you're a pretty darn good quarterback. Tier three falls under kind of the, you know, you need a good strong run game to help you out, make life a little bit easier and all that stuff. And again, this isn't Mike who is the one who is saying this. This is people he has talked to around the league.
And that's the concern.
Correct. So Deshaun Watson on here is in tier three, which means he needs a good strong run game. He needs help around him to have him succeed. He is the 18th overall quarterback of the 30 that they have put together here, down 3 positions from where he was last year. He goes on to basically write, and these are from executives around the league, quote, he's a tier 3 guy and just a bad fit. You have an RPO quarterback, run pass option quarterback, in a play action offense. It is not a good mix. A defensive coach chimed in and said he is a better pocket passer than given credit for, but has always been slow going through his progressions because he knew if he broke down, people could not catch him. A lot of stuff he did with Houston, there was designed run pass options and movement plays for him. Maybe the processing is a tick slow. I can't explain it. It just feels like something is missing.
Doesn't sound like what you want to hear, is it, Browns fans? Let's go back to another scathing comment. As Dan called it, Mike Sando, who is with The Athletic, does his quarterback tiers. He's going to be with us coming up on Wednesday. And he put these tiers together. His write-up about Deshaun Watson includes comments, Andy, from personnel around the NFL. And it gets uglier.
So the earlier comments, just to catch you up, he's a tier three and just a bad fit, an executive said. You have a run pass option quarterback and a play action offense. That's not a good mix. It was followed up with a defensive coach saying he has a lot. He's a better pocket passer than people give him credit for, but has always been slow going through his progressions because he knows if it broke down, people could not catch him. A lot of the stuff that he did with Houston, there was designated run pass options and movement plays for him. Maybe the processing is a tick slow. I can't explain it. It just feels like there's something missing. And then it ends with this comment right here.
Hang on.
From an offensive coach.
Hang on.
Somewhere in the league.
Mm.
I wonder if he loves it enough. He should be way better than this.
What is that supposed to mean? Loves the game?
I guess.
That's how I'm taking it. Loves the game, loves playing quarterback, loves doing the work, loves doing all of that stuff. That's how I'm looking at it.
Let's keep this in mind. That's the opinion of one coach somewhere in the league.
Correct.
Okay.
You think if he played more games, had more opportunity, had more success, didn't get injured, didn't get himself into trouble, he might be having more fun and might live up to the expectations of said offensive person in the NFL? If he didn't get hurt, I thought he was starting to have fun last year before he got hurt. Didn't you?
I would think so. I would think he hasn't had any fun at all since he's been a member of the Browns. Would you think, Andy? There's just been...
It's been frustrating. Well, I mean, the last couple of years, I mean, in the end in Houston, it was frustrating.
He didn't have any fun the last year in Houston because he didn't play.
I don't know. He spent a lot of time on the sidelines watching. I just think it takes a couple of good games for him. If you think that he... It's confidence. I think that's the word we're looking for. I think he'll have the confidence as long as he's got to go out there and play, though. That's why I wanted him to play in the preseason.
I was hoping he would have played in Seattle.
Yeah, you're not getting confidence watching. Are you? You got to go out there, you got to execute, and you've got to be able to feel good about a play. Walk off the field with that adrenaline rush. Hey, all right, I'm playing good. Because I just think if you believe in everything you're doing, your success rate's going to be higher. I'm still a little frustrated from when he first came back and started playing. He was throwing the ball on the ground, but I don't know. That seemed to go away. And then the injury kind of came in there towards the end. And you're like, oh, and then they got him out of the game. Yeah, the limited stuff I saw in Berea, because we're on the air at the same time, I thought he looked okay. I thought he looked the way a quarterback should look. So I hope we get to I really hope we're not sitting here 2 weeks from today going, oh, he didn't play in the preseason. That's why he looked the way he did. Yep. Yeah, you know, everybody else played. I know Brett Favre didn't, but that's okay. Everybody else played. Look how they looked. They were ready for the season. We're going to spend 2 weeks doing this. You know that, right? And then if he looks good in the first game against Dallas, no one is going to care that he didn't play against Seattle. No one is going to care that he didn't play against Minnesota. They're not. But he's got to look sharp. And if he doesn't, shame on him and shame on the coaching staff for not playing him.
I can't even argue with that. I can't even argue with that. The team can't have a slow start. As competitive as the division is going to be, Andy, I don't think a slow start works. So hopefully he's
2-2 to start the season. What do they need to be in their first four for you to feel confident?
Confident?
Yeah, just so again,
3-1. Okay, 2-2.
All right.
Bad, 1-3.
0-4.
Well, let's not.
I don't see 0-4 coming.
No, I don't either. But
I don't think the defense will let them get to 0-4. I think the defense at worst will let this be 2-2 to start the season. Worst case scenario, the defense will will them to 2 wins. And your kicker. Yeah. Dustin Hopkins.
You know, the thing that I keep thinking about, and we just heard Aaron Schott say Jameis is probably underappreciated and is better than people think he is. And I thought that was an interesting comment. We didn't ask about it. He just brought that up. But I keep in my mind keep thinking, what if Deshaun doesn't look good?
Well, and, you got Jameis. They're going to let him look bad as long as he can.
There's no way they're ever going to bench Deshaun and play Jameis.
No, you know what's going to happen. You know as well as I know is what's going to happen. It's sore again. Sore.
I don't think that would even happen, Andy. If he's going to miss time, it's going to be because he's injured. They could say he's sore and everything else.
We don't like the way it healed.
I don't think Deshaun would go.
He's having problems.
If you're Deshaun, you're going to go with that? No, I want to be on the field.
Why? He's getting paid the same. This is the problem. It's a problem when you pay guys up front. He's getting paid the same, whether he plays or not. I cannot tell you how many people come up to me and say, hey, you know, you pay a guy before he plays. What do you expect? Well, I can't predict injury, so I'm never going to put that on a player. And then you hear this story just now that we just read. It's like, you know, has he kind of lived up to the expectations of blah, 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 blah? No, he hasn't. He hasn't lived up to the expectations. Part of that is injury. Part of that is league. Part of that is bad decisions. This is the year, baby. It's got to be now. There is no, there's no let up here. He has got to have the year we all want, and I think we're all skeptical because we didn't see him in the preseason, and so you're worried about it. And I think that's a legit fear.
Mike is in Cleveland. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Listen, good.
I got my own opinion about this Watson thing. It just seems like a a thing where big brother, little brother, and what I mean by that, it just seems like the backups are the big brothers, and the way the Browns and the coaching staff and everybody is treating Deshaun, it's like a little kid. I mean, I understand the injuries and everything like that, but you got to put him out there in a game environment, which was the last time they had, the last game they just played. They could have put him out there for a couple of series. Now, if something go wrong in that Dallas game, I mean, who can you blame but the coaching staff? I mean, I don't know what it's the one coach or all the coaches, you know what I'm saying, but somebody, they should put him out there. They had a chance, so now we got to live with it. You know,
here's the problem, Mike. Like, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I do know that we would all be sitting here if Deshaun got his shoulder wrecked again on Saturday night, we'd all be saying those guys are idiots for playing him. So, I, this is just a matter of time. We're watching the clock tick. Get me to the game so we don't have to sit here and contemplate any of that stuff. I think he's, like, as a fan, I agree with what he said, but everyone knows what happened in Seattle doesn't matter for except maybe three guys that are trying to make the team.
Mike, thanks. Jim's in Strongsville. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jeff, real quick, I just want to disagree with you. Like, I hear what you're saying with the contract and whatever else. Listen, as a team, you've got a responsibility to 52 other guys on that roster. You want to see something go south real fast? You keep marching a guy out there that's not getting it done because of his contract, and you'll see your entire organization turn into garbage. That's just what happens. So I don't think this is going to happen. I'm just saying you're dead set on, like, well, if he doesn't play well, they're just going to keep.
I would be stunned. You make perfect sense, but they have so much invested in him. And he's played so little, I would think that the thought all season long, if he's healthy, is going to be he'll work through it. And I agree with you. I don't like it, but I'll bet they do.
If it's not working, he's got it's the soreness, and then they're going to have to sit him out. That's how they're going to get out of it.
You have too many other guys you're paying on that roster that if you basically you're saying you throw in the towel. I mean, it just. Oh, that's how you end up with a 2-win season. So I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying, like, I think it's not like the other sports. I just don't think you can keep doing it, and I don't think they will.
It's interesting, Jim. Thank you, bud. Appreciate the phone call. I don't know, Andy. I'm hard pressed to think that they'll do anything but keep rolling him out there all season long.
I don't disagree with you.
And hopefully we don't.
There's
have
too
to
much
worry
invested, so that they can walk away from it if it doesn't work. They could say, man, we gave it everything we could.
We gave it everything we can.
Yep.
You know, because, again, we have a 12-game sample size so far, and truly just 11 games, because he got hurt early in the one, so that didn't really work.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.